The next talk that we're going to hear is by Venerable K. Sri Dhammananda, the High Priest of Malaysia. Dr. Dhammananda is well known for his tremendous Dhammadutta work in Malaysia. At a time when Buddhism in Malaysia was somewhat inactive and disorganized, he has been one of a small number of people who have had an enormous effect in awakening Buddhism, presenting it in a non-superstitious, clearly understandable way to the vast majority of people. He's well known for his many writings, and he will be talking to us today on how to face modern challenges.
Venerable Chairman, Venerable Members of the Mahasangha, dear devotees, let me congratulate for having invited me to come and participate in this religious seminar organized by Tisarana Buddhist Organization, headed by Venerable Dhammaratna. You have done a very good service to create some sort of awakening amongst the Buddhist community to gain more confidence and understanding how to maintain Buddhist concept or practices in spite of various challenges that we had to face. So this morning, Dr. Dhammasiri, in his talk, given various reasons as fundamental advices from the Buddhist point of view. So it is my duty to give further explanation regarding this issue. How to face the challenges, especially modern challenges? Well, religionists are going to defend. But do you think all those challenges are unreasonable? I believe many of those challenges are reasonable. Why? Religions are based on belief, faith, and mythology, and traditions and customs. But modern challenges are based on experiment, investigation, observation, and realization. We have to admit, in every religion, there are a lot of superstitious beliefs that we cherish and promote as religious way of life. Because of this attitude, many of those scientists, rationalists, freethinkers, agnostics declare war against all those existing religions. Religionists had a losing battle for nearly 100 years. In the end, they had to surrender. How did they surrender? By changing, twisting, giving new versions and interpretations to their basic teaching. In that case, Where are the basic teachings of those religions? If they can change from time to time the basic concept of their religion. Let us take few examples. Anthropology. They had a losing battle up to 1950 that this theory goes against the creations of God. But in the end, what they have done? They have twisted and changed the basic teaching and accommodated anthropology because no other choice. In the same manner, the formations of this world, earth, sun and the moon, galaxies and the universe, they claim as their property, belong to that particular religion. When scientists have discovered and explained the real nature of the universe, they have to withdraw certain things that they have claimed as their property or created by their father. So are we going to say these challenges are wrong? Now let us come to Buddhism. Is there anything the 45 years teachings of the Buddha for those scientists or psychologists or rationalists or anthropologists to challenge with the Buddha's teaching? In fact, the more they discover, the more they come nearer to the Buddha. Many things that the Buddha had explained earlier, people could not understand. But later, when scientists have discovered, today, people say, yes, what the Buddha has said earlier is true. Those who criticize and condemn and ridicule Buddhism talk about idol worshiping, burning just sticks and papers, rites and rituals, but can they touch upon one word uttered by the Buddha to challenge? In fact, they cannot understand what the Buddha has said. When they want to ridicule this religion, they talk only about these few items. Can they challenge with the Four Noble Truths, Eight Noble Paths, the cause and effect, or karma or causality, moral causality, or the nature, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, unsubstantiality in everything that we exist? Can they challenge? That is what a well-known scientist, Albert Einstein, has said. In future, if religion is needed, according to our scientific education, only one religion can remain in this world. That is Buddhism. In his biography, he has written like this. He was not a Buddhist. So intellectuals can appreciate the Buddha's interpretation of our life and existence and world and the universe and phenomena. But others create their imagination by following age-old traditional beliefs which were recorded in their holy book and introduced as divine message. So Buddhists have no challenge. There is nobody in this world who can challenge with the Buddha's thinking, because the Buddha has revealed only truth. He did not introduce a religion He did not introduce a philosophy or psychology.
But all those things are there. But the truth is the nucleus of Buddhism. Remember, no one can monopolize the truth. Truth does not belong to any particular religion. A religion cannot create the truth. Truth exists. But unfortunately, people cannot understand the truth. That is what the Buddha says. Whether the Buddhas appear or not, the Dharma or the truth remains. Due to their ignorance and misunderstanding, completely eclipse their mind, and they experience the difficulty of understanding the Dharma or the truth. Instead of following a religion, people do something, believe something, practice something where we cannot find real religious value. That is why many of those great thinkers say, better to do away with all these religions. Religionists are trying to blindfold us, try to make use of us for their own benefit by introducing superstitious belief as religion. On the other hand, can we prove that all those who follow certain religion or religious denominations are far superior to those who have no religion, those who do not claim any religion? In fact, if you observe unbiasedly, you can see those who follow religion, as mentioned by Dr. Dhammasiri, those who follow religions create more troubles, more misunderstanding, more jealousy, more hatred than those who have no religion. Those who have no religions are united. But so-called religionists who glorify about their religion have more jealousy and anger and enmity, hatred towards others. Then what is the big idea of maintaining a religion? You can forget about religious labels. People are trying to introduce our religion or my religion. But there is nobody to introduce religion. My idea is to bring others into my religion, whatever rubbish I believe in the name of religion. And this is the attitude. The Buddha did not try to introduce a religion, as I mentioned earlier. He revealed the truth for you to understand, to maintain your human dignity, to uphold human qualities and respect human intelligence, but not to follow anything through mere emotion or faith or belief. Then what are we going to do now? Some people say religion is irrational. Science is inhuman. Philosophy is a theory. Psychology is an imaginary. Politics is dirty. Man is unreliable. World is uncertain. Then what are we going to do now? Where is the solution? This is the real situation. Then how are we going to solve this problem? So when you take dharma, please remember, dharma is free from all these things. That is the truth. We are trying to understand the main thing. Our human dignity to live as real human beings, real gentlemen. Do you know, when we address a large gathering, we say, ladies and gentlemen. But when we observe very carefully, all are gentlemen, but it is very difficult to find out a gentle man. This is the truth. Then, where is religion? Today, job-orientated education produce so-called intellectuals. But unfortunately, in their education, they never had discipline, moral conduct, or behaviorism. Then, immoral practices become very common. They go on developing their selfish desire with cunningness because of their academic knowledge. Before they received that education, they were ordinary devils. But after their graduation, they have become very clever devils. This is the nature of modern education. Then how can you expect a healthy, peaceful society for us to live? There are few innocent people, and they become the victims to those clever people. Take for instance, I have noticed on many occasions when two wrestlers come to the stage, an honest wrestler wanted to go and shake hands with the other man. When the other man is a clever devil, he gets the chance to get hold of his hand, twist and start beating. This is the nature of the society today. Honest, kind, understanding, innocent people easily become the victim to all those cunning, educated, selfish people. If not, we develop certain racial arrogance, very unhealthy racial arrogance. Religious discrimination. One religious group hates, discriminates the other religious group. One writer has written, if religionists are not ready to lay down their weapons, how can we ask militarists or terrorists to lay down their weapons? Because religionists are in the battlefield. They use religion as a weapon to gain political power, worldly power, material gain, and pleasure by using the name of religion, by adopting any kind of monkey trick in the name of religion to promote their religion, any kind of immoral practices to introduce religion. You might have read in the newspaper nearly 1 year ago in Indonesia, an American missionary group introduced a religious cult by inviting young boys and girls to have free sex to introduce their religion. They have gone to such extent. In Europe, one particular church, when the priest could not find out the followers to go and pray the Sunday morning, what he did? He opened a liquor bar in the church. Then people started going there, and after having nice drink, they can pray louder. They can pray louder. How do they pray? First, they pray. After praying, they pray on. That pray means P-R-E-Y, pray. Pray on others. This is the nature of their prayer. That is why I told you, whatever man handles today, whether it is politics or religion or education, he misuse, abuse, disgrace because of his selfishness and cunningness. These two forces are ruling the whole world today. The world has become a real battlefield. The whole world is in a chaotic condition today because of this man's selfishness and cunningness. Can we find the answer from heaven by praying? Is there anybody to settle this problem? Let us try to find out whether we can find out direct answer from the Buddha's teaching. He has given the answer. When somebody came and asked this question, you see, the whole world is in a chaotic condition. Inner tangle, outer tangle. Conflict, clashes, dispute. How are we going to settle this problem? Then the Buddha said, Sīle patitthāya naro sapanyo cittaṁ paññañca bhāve. He said, there are only three things we have to do if you really want to settle this problem. There is no any other solution. By taking this stanza, Venerable Buddha Gosa has written more than 800 pages, a book called Visuddhi Magga, in English, Path of Purification, based on this particular stanza. Then what is the solution? If people observe sila, what is sila? Discipline, behavior, conduct, to behave as human being. That is the first thing. If man is not ready to do that, it is impossible to find out any solution. But that is not enough. Cittaṁ paññañca bhāve. Train the mind. You can pretend you are cultured, civilized, religious, educated human beings. Still, your minds are not clear, not trained properly. If the mind is not trained, at any moment, that uncertain mind can create enormous problems. Because there are three main evil roots in our mind. Whether we are good or bad, these three evil roots, evil forces, remain submerged in our mind. Circumstances, environment arouse, then flare up. After that, no controlling power. We cannot apply the breath at that time. That is why training is important. This training is not like animal training. You know, those who perform certain circus, they catch wild animals, fierce animals, lions and tigers, and play with them. And we think they are tamed. They were not tamed. Fear, the master has injected into their mind by beating, torturing those animals. Because of that fear, animals keep quiet. But no training in the mind. No understanding in the mind. But occasionally, the real animal nature, you can see, suddenly they jump and kill the master in the circle. So if the animals are like this, what about human beings who got intelligence? This intelligence is a very dangerous thing if it is not properly trained and guided. That is why the Buddha says, mental training is the most important thing. You might have read, the human rights, the UNESCO Human Charter. The main problem or the cause of the war, it is mentioned, man's mind creates war. But the same mind can bring about peace. So, they refer to the Buddha, what he has said 2,500 years ago in Dhammapada, the first tensor, Mano Kubbangama Dhamma. Mind is responsible for everything good and bad in this world. Neither God, nor devil, nor ghost, but the man's mind. God, devil, ghost are there in the man's mind. Man can act as God, as devil, and as ghost. If that mind is not properly trained, man can misuse this and create enormous problem, disaster. Then the Buddha says, train the mind. You cannot train the other man, another man's mind. What is happening today? I try to train you and you try to train me. There is a nice parable in the Buddha's teaching. A master and a student when they were going to perform a very risky trick, an acrobat. The master told the disciple, this trick is very, very risky. Therefore, you must try to protect me. I try to protect you. Then the disciple said, Master, I don't think this is advisable or practical. If you try to protect yourself, and if I try to protect myself, I think that is more practical. That is what the Buddha says. Don't try to train others. First, you must train your own mind. But nobody wants to do that. Try to train the mind. If you want to see a healthy, peaceful society or the world, then the last item is Panya. Panya means understanding, realization, wisdom. You can train the mind, but the truth or the reality a skill not appeared in the mind, therefore can be misled at any time. So, moral development or discipline is the foundation. First, you have to lay this foundation. Without laying this foundation, it is impossible for you to build up. Any moment can collapse because the foundation is not strong enough. And then train the mind to stand firmly. It is unshakable now. Then climax, wisdom, understanding. We can understand why people are fighting, why we develop jealousy and enmity and grudge, why we discriminate others. We can understand. But today we cannot understand. We use all sorts of excuses for our own benefit. We disregard others' feelings. Remember, the way how Buddha has introduced for us to cultivate morality or discipline, not because of fear of punishment. If you do that, you are selfish. If there is no such punishment, you can do any kind of dirty, vulgar, wicked, cruel thing in this world, because no punishment. On the other hand, you are willing to do some service to others, help others, then there must be some reward from heaven. Otherwise, you are not ready to do that. This mental attitude is real selfishness. Now let us see the Buddha's attitude. He does not talk about this punishment or hellfire or heaven as a reward. Your understanding you have to develop, then you know why. Certain things are good, certain things are bad. Without depending on God or heaven or devil or good. What is that? He said, if you cannot understand why evil things are bad, attānaṁ upamāṁ kattvā nahane nighāte, also in Dhammapada. When others try to hurt you, beat you, kill you, torture you, think for a while how you feel. So when you are going to do the same thing to others, any kind of living beings, they too experience the same feeling, fear, pain, suffering. And this is more than enough for you to understand why these things are bad. Not because of the punishment. This is the advantage of the human mind to understand this. We are so selfish. We are not willing to do any service to anybody if there is no reward. Then how are you going to cultivate your virtues, your kindness, your compassion, your honesty? No chance at all. On the other hand, we don't like to kill, it is forbidden according to our religion. If not, the God punish me if I kill. Is it not selfishness? Why not you think in this way? As human beings who can understand things, it is unfair, it is cruel, it is painful, create enormous suffering if I destroy or disturb or beat or kill them. Then you have given a chance to your mind to cultivate certain good qualities, kindness, compassion, understanding, patience. If you depend on punishment, you never give the chance for your mind to think in that way. So, these are the three things the Buddha has introduced to face any kind of challenges in this world, whether modern challenges or old challenges, makes no difference. Challenges were there even during the Buddha's time. Why? The Buddha's teaching is so rich, philosophically, ethically, morally, doctrinally, scientifically, rationally, because there was lot of challenges from various other religious denominations in India. Why? The Buddha was a religious revolutionist. He has revolutionized the whole system, religious system, and rationalized and given very reasonable interpretation to many of those existing religious beliefs and traditions and practices. Then lot of challenges from philosophers, religious teachers. So he had to face this dialogue, debate, discussion, enrich a Buddhist doctrine. That's why intellectuals, especially in the Western countries, say Buddhism is a real gold mine to us. The more we dig and dig, the more we can find valuable things. So it is not a belief, it is not a mythology, it is not a tradition, it is not an old fashion. It is the truth. So, where are the challenges? There is nobody to challenge, as I mentioned earlier, with the truth revealed by the Buddha. People say they have discovered so many new systems, new methods. But can they refute or ridicule or oust what the Buddha has said according to their new discovery? Can you bring up even one issue? You can ask only one question. People are used to many kind of immoral practices. Today, they don't regard them as immoral. When you ask, Buddhism says it is unfair for us to do that. How can we live without these practices? Because we are used to them. Remember, we cannot lower the status, the dignity of Buddhism according to your way of life. Moral degeneration, a spiritual bankruptcy, already have taken place in the man's mind. So what people want to lower the basic teachings of the Buddha according to their way of life. They are going further down, lower and lower. That is what the Buddha said earlier. In time to come, when these immoral and evil practices become very common, the Dharma disappears. Dr. Dharmasiri says, in Sanskrit it is mentioned, Dharmo Vanantangata. Dharma has gone back to jungle. Law of the jungle has come back to this concrete jungle. That is what is happening in this world. So, with whom are you going to challenge? You have to challenge with yourself. It is our mistake. We must try to learn the truth. We can pray. We can offer. We can burn glory Lord of justice. We can pray 100 times a day. Today religions are glorifying. You see, our places of worship are fully packed.
churches, temples, mosques, thousands of devotees go and pray and pray. We prosper because when we open our charity box, we can see a lot of money. Religion is progressive. This is the way how they measure the development of religious life. But when you observe among those who go and pray as pious devotees, jealousy, anger, grudge, and ill will and cruelty, all the evil processes are boiling in their minds. Why do they want to pray? Because they have committed a lot of sins. And go and ask the God, please forgive, wash away all my sins. Then tomorrow also I can do the same thing. Otherwise, why do they want to pray? As Buddhists, we never pray to anybody because we are not culprits. So, we try to adjust ourselves. We do not depend on anybody. We cultivate our way of life. We have weaknesses. So, just this morning, Dr. Dharmasiri made a beautiful statement. Please remember this. He said, the Buddha did not introduce a religion for you to follow. All the others are followers. So we are not followers of the Buddha or anybody. Buddha says, instead of following, you must try to learn. After learning, you must think. Try to understand. After that, practice. Then, experience. Whether it is right or wrong, you can understand. Pachyattam veditabho vinyuhi. So every person can experience this according to their way of practice. Pariyatti, patipatti, pativeda, three ways. First, you have to study. How many people have learned the Buddha's teaching? They do not know anything about it. When they talk about Buddhism, they say, people say, like that. That's what people say. But they do not know what the Buddha has said. Try to understand. Dhammapada is a beautiful book. It is a Buddhist Bible. If you want to use the word Bible, it is a Buddhist Bible. Such a nice saying of the Buddha, advices for us. Then after learning, you can understand whether it is right or wrong, without depending on Buddha or without depending on your guru. Because you have human mind to understand, but you never give that chance. So, as I mentioned, we have no problem, no challenges. Yes, there are many challenges regarding your practices, especially from other religions. The way how they try to ridicule this religion. They say you are idol worshipper, you worship a devil. How can a dead man then save you, forgive your sins? And why do you want to burn justice and papers? To whom are you praying? How can you find out your way to heaven? These are the things. But can they mention even one word uttered by the Buddha? The Buddha said like this, it is wrong, can they see? Then what are they talking? All right. They may come and tell you, if you accept this religion, after your death or when you are going to die, the God forgive your sins, original sins. Otherwise you have no chance to go to heaven. Because they have taken this whole agency from heaven. Those who have no religious labels also can go to heaven if they can maintain all the good qualities and virtues and human dignity. Heaven is open to everybody. Religious label is not important. At the gate of the heaven, I don't think there is anybody to see your label whether you are Buddhist or Christian. Well, they say, after your death, they take away your original sin. How do you know whether they can take away your sins or not after your death? Nobody come and report, isn't it? They are very clever. If they can do that, they should have done from the birth.
Then we can understand whether the sins were forgiven or not. Please remember, from the Buddhist point of view, if there is anybody in this world who can take away your sins, you are the only one who can do that. But not simply by worshipping or praying to anybody.
If there is anybody in this world who can forgive your sins, you are the only one who can do that. Another person cannot forgive your sins.